Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference. We're so excited to have you joining us today. If this is your first time being with us here, we're so glad you found us and hope that you mark your calendar each weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central, which is also 9 Eastern and 8 Pacific. And today's show will be rebroadcast all day at AccomplishMagazine.com and also available as a download on iTunes, so that if you missed our show for any reason, you can go back into our on-demand episodes and load them up on your MP3 player and take them with you when you're out working out or doing whatever else that you might be doing. We're so grateful to have thousands of listeners tuning into our show, and we've actually appeared in the top 20 for business talk shows, so we're really happy about that. We want to personally thank you, our audience, for your continued support and interest in Accomplish Radio Morning Show. And recently we discovered something else that was pretty special. We learned that the Accomplish magazine has made its way to Kenya, Australia, England, New Zealand, Canada, the Netherlands, and Denmark. So we're now officially an international magazine. So we're so excited about that. That was just a complete surprise for me. I never really saw that coming, but I guess considering its original format is a digital version, it can be found anywhere in the world. So we're very excited to be able to find that information out. And if you've been listening to our morning show, you know that each weekday morning we spend time interviewing someone, you know, that has accomplished a lot of great things. And, you know, today's guest has really done some incredible things. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of getting to know this woman and learning more about who she is and all the things that she does in this world. And her name is Danae Vaughn. And her skills and talents are literally capitalized upon men and women around the world who seek to grow their business and minimize their bottom line. She prides herself in connecting others who they need to know. Through strategic alliances and synergistic partnerships, Danae continues to network with some of America's most amazing people, companies and organizations. And it's no surprise she is known worldwide as the Networking Queen. And her motto is, do more, be more, achieve more, and that you are worth it. She believes everyone is worthy and consistently receives requests for speaking engagements, online and offline networking assistance, and marketing support. She has shared the stage with world-renowned trainers like Jerry Clark and Michael Burnoff, and been personally mentored by many multimillionaires such as Jason Cisneros and Jeffrey Combs. Danae has traveled the country sharing her passions in sessions on the power of face on Facebook, increasing your net worth through your network, and how to give the royal treatment. And it's actually R period O period Y period A period L period. So it stands for something special, I'm sure, she's going to share with us. She also provides teams and businesses and entrepreneurs with a renewed mindset and improved mental clarity through her coaching programs. With just one connection, Danae has assisted a corporation in securing a multi-million-dollar contract. Personally, she has used social media to secure over $15,000 in contracts within 2 weeks and grown a team of nearly 1,000 distributors, all via social media. Danae is helping others to use social media marketing daily to increase their income. She is reaching thousands more since she launched her own radio show, which is internet-based. Only 3 Degrees is the name of her show. And Danae is connecting you with the people that you need to know every Thursday at 11 a.m. Central, also on Blog Talk Radio. And if it's a new way to network that you seek, training you require, or if business or personal coaching is your preference, be sure to connect with the Networking Queen. And I'd like to also add that we're really excited that she has also received a nomination for not just one of our awards, but for both of them, for America's Most Influential Business Connector and for Best Business Connector in Dallas. So please help me welcome to our show, Danae Vaughn. Danae, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for that wonderful welcome, Darlene. It's great to be here this morning.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here today and to talk more about all of your accomplishments and, you know, all the dreams and goals and visions that you have. And, you know, maybe you might be able to share a few of those words of wisdom with our audience today and definitely get to know more about who the Networking Queen is. And, you know, we're just going to have
definitely
a fun conversation, right?
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the cute thing is that for years I was known as the Networking Queen here in St. Louis. And someone had said, oh, but there's someone else that's in Texas known as the Networking Queen. And I said, really? And so we were introduced. I actually branded myself years ago as the Sassy Networker. So Danae and I have actually connected. Well, it's been a while, I would say, because I remember the first time that we connected and, you know, we share the same mindset. We have the same, you know, dreams of what can we do to support someone else and who do they need to know, especially
yes.
when you're doing a lot of networking. So I was so excited because I know we have a lot to share on our show today. And since we only have an hour, I figured, you know, we'll just have some.
I was screaming.
And, you know, I can't wait to, you know, listen more. I've had a chance to tune into your radio show. And so you've been doing some broadcasting for quite a while. And I know that your shows are very successful and you've had some incredible people on your show. So let's talk just for a minute about that, because I think that what you're going to hear is, you know, the things that most people don't realize when hosting your own radio show. You know, let's talk about, you know, what you've discovered from being in the broadcasting industry, you know, previously, because you had a traditional radio show, I believe, correct?
There was a station actually out of Denton, Texas. It's called Apostle Radio, apostleradio.org. And they are internet-based, but the way that they set up their shows are the same steps that typically you would see with a radio station on like an AM/FM channel. So it was a go in, pre-record. I would spend the entire day in the studio at the station with Ed and Sheila and would either have guests in the studio with me or via the phone. And it was something that cost money, pay to do it. And I was introduced to that concept via a connection, a networking event that introduced me to Sheila Tucker, and she and her husband Ed started this, and it is a Christian platform, and that really resonated with my heart, as you know, Darlene, and I love the opportunity to get into radio, and because of that, it enabled me to evolve to Blog Talk Radio and a free platform, if you will, but a new way to connect with people, and it decreased my drive time. There are a lot of pros for doing it. I actually, one of the first shows that I did on Blog Talk Radio last December explained all that, why I transitioned from Apostle Radio to Blog Talk Radio and how wonderful and great Ed and Sheila have been. And it really does enable you to travel, as you know, and to be at events and to connect with people worldwide in a new way and to really change people's mindset. So that's one of the things that I absolutely love about internet radio, but just radio broadcasting in general, because if you think about it, you're in St. Louis, and I'm outside of Amarillo, so if we both turn to an AM or an FM station at the same time of day, we're not going to hear the same message. But if we tune to Blog Talk Radio at the same time on the same day to the same channel, we'll hear the same message.
I like that. That's so important, you know, and I was actually trying to figure out before I decided to have my radio show because, you know, I do blend our shows directly into Accomplish Magazine, I figured since I was going to be interviewing people anyway, you know, and instead of me getting in my car and going to their office or, you know, having them meet me somewhere and interviewing them and, you know, recording it, you know, because traditionally a reporter, if they're going to be interviewing somebody for a feature story, they're going to, you know, record it, ask a bunch of questions, and, you know, later on they would transcribe it and, you know, create an article from it. And I started thinking about that going, gosh, you know, I don't have a whole lot of extra time to do that. And, you know, what can I do, you know, as an alternative? And it just hit me. I'm like, you know what? If I bring these guests on my radio show and, you know, just launch something. And I've had a lot of friends of mine that are all excited that I have a radio show now. And, you know, they're like, well, why didn't you find someplace here in St. Louis? I go, well, for one thing, it doesn't broadcast all over the world like I need it to. And,
yeah.
You know, my network is everywhere. I really have, you know, I love people here in St. Louis, but I've connected with people from all over the world. And, you know, so it really makes a lot of sense to choose an internet platform, even though some people are like, well, how do I find the station?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well,
totally,
you know.
Agree.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those things. And I think more and more people are turning to internet-based, you know, systems and services, and I really love having our show broadcasting. I wasn't really going to do, you know, a daily show. It just, I have so many requests to be on and to interview people. And, you know, one of the other reasons I think I went to a daily broadcast is, you know, I'm setting up appointments to get to know people anyway. And you know what it's like when you're networking, because you're like, oh, well, what got you started? And where do you know, why do you do what you do? And, you know, because inquiring minds want to know.
Want to know, yeah. I remember
right.
that commercial. I was alive then.
I know, you're so young, too. And, you know, but the thing is, I'm like thinking, I know for sure I'm going to be talking to some new people anyway. And why not bring them onto the show with us? And some people are a little nervous, you know, but you're definitely not one of those people.
Well, and when people realize it's like sitting down on the phone with a new connection you've made, someone that is a contact from a networking event, a prospect, a new client, whatever, and you can't meet face-to-face. Well, you get on the phone and you talk. If you realize that the way Blog Talk Radio is set up, so that you can talk to people over the phone, it
mm-hmm.
relieves some of that anxiety and really helps the interviews to flow. I mean, if people listen back to the numerous folks that you've interviewed and
mm-hmm.
change their mindset of thinking, it's not sitting in this fancy station and you have to pay thousands of dollars to rent the space and have all this great audio equipment and a microphone and, you know, fancy schmancy music and all sorts of stuff, that you can really set things up pretty basically, then that enables you to also embrace the idea that Blog Talk Radio is an open platform to anyone that likes to talk. Anybody
mm.
that likes to talk.
And I think networking people like us, we love to talk anyway. So
I know, so there needs to be more of them with shows so that we can all talk about each other's shows on the other person's shows, and we build this massive network of networkers on Blog Talk Radio.
I love that. I love that. So let's get into some discussion over some accomplishments of yours. And, you know, typically I like to, you know, prepare some of our guests and let them know that we're going to be talking about that. And, you know, where you're a person that can really roll with the punches, you know, and in fact, I think we just sort of secured our interview last week. And, you know, I apologize, I didn't get a chance to really let you know, hey, these are a few of the questions that I might ask, but I figured you'd
That's
be okay
all good.
With some of this. Yeah, I knew you're
sure.
a professional. You can handle this. So
yeah,
what
all
I
right.
thought I would ask is, in your lifetime, and now you got to kind of go back and kind of review some things, and, you know, in your lifetime, what do you see as one of your greatest accomplishments? What's the thing that stands above the rest, that makes you go, oh, I can't believe I did that. That is just something, you know, something that you're very proud of. Is there something that comes to mind that you'd like to share with us today?
There's a couple of things that resonate with me when you ask that, Darlene. And one of the first is that one of the proudest accomplishments my husband and I have is our daughter, in that, I know it's not business-oriented, but
I know, it's okay.
It
this
be.
Is all about accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, we're a fertility couple. And so we were challenged to have children, and it was a battle for us, visiting with our OB to figure out what was going on, and then running a bunch of tests, and her sending us to a fertility specialist. And at the time, I actually worked in a hospital in Nebraska, Nebraska Methodist Health System. And I didn't even know that there was a specialty department in a clinic across the street that was related with the health system. And I worked in HR. So it wasn't until I was referred there that I met these doctors, and it was surgery after surgery after surgery, because as a fertility couple, there was nothing wrong with him. He was fine. And he's glad that you only have to do those tests once as a man and never again, because it is something that it's negatively looked upon, honestly, in society when you go through that stuff. And the heartbreaking truth is that there are so many couples who are trying to conceive that have these challenges. And you can be born with it. It can be a result of things that happened to you as a child that you weren't even aware of. A long list of things. And so it was surgery after surgery. And we were referred there in January, went through the shot process for months, and finally in July we conceived. And it was beyond the belief of the staff at this facility. Because every time we would do the shots, I would get a polyp, or they would find another cyst. And they typically don't do an implant when that happens. So surely by the grace of God, did we have Victoria, and that's why her middle name is Faith. Because when the test results came back and they said that we were pregnant, that we had accomplished conception, the staff cried, I cried, we were all overjoyed, because they said more than likely it wouldn't happen because I had a polyp. But it did, and she was a miracle baby, perfect in all ways. And we know, like I said, surely by the grace of God that took place. But that is one of the big accomplishments, when you ask me, that I think of. And the other one is that throughout my lifetime, my parents have instilled values in me that all people are created equal. And it doesn't matter what socioeconomic class you are, what clothes you wear, if you're wearing the InStyle clothing, or how big your house is, how small your house is, what kind of car you drive, none of those things. And throughout my lifetime, growing up military and traveling all over, not just within the United States, but we even lived in Germany for a while, I would be ridiculed and kicked out of groups of friends because I would be a friend to all. But I'm happy to say that through my lifetime, I didn't allow that to sway my belief system of not accepting others. And because of that, I believe that I've been able to accomplish what I have because of the fact that you can look at a person and, though, yes, you want to judge because that is human nature, that is just, you know, the way that it is, but to see the heart inside of the person and the passion. And I really love finding that within each person and being able to bring that out of them. A prime example, last night, on our way home from Red River, New Mexico, we stopped, and I told my husband I want to buy some more flip-flops because I've been making what my daughter and I call fashionista flip-flops. And we've been selling them and teaching some folks in the small town some talents that they can use online to increase their income and help out with their family. And when we stopped at this Dollar General, and I was buying all these flip-flops up, this man asked me, what are you doing with all these? And I said, oh, I fashionista them and, you know, make them all girly. He's like, so do you do this as a job? I said, no, I do it for fun, but I sell them. He's like, so you own your business? I said, yes, I have for years. I'm psychologically unemployable. And he said, what? I said, psychologically unemployable, meaning I don't ever work for anybody else. I love being my own boss. It's the best boss I've ever had. He goes, yeah, my wife and I have talked about that. I said, really, what does your wife do? Oh, she works at H&R Block a couple hours a week. So what does she do beyond that? Does she have any passions or things? Well, not really. He's like, okay, so what do you do besides work at Dollar General? Oh, nothing much. I said, well, if you want to start a business, the two of you need to figure out what your passions are, and then it will soar from there. If you have internet access, you know what your passions are, then I can help you get to where you want to be, where you're owning your own business. And he's like, okay. There you go. End the conversation.
You know, I think that's fascinating, and thank you so much for sharing your personal accomplishments and, you know, that's just very touching. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry that you went through that, but I'm really excited that, you know, how old is your little girl?
She turned 5 in March. And I'll add to you, jokingly, but in all seriousness, too, Tim and I have discussed multiple times that I really need to write a book about this because my grandmother passed away the same day we found out we were having a girl. Mm-hmm. And so my mom's mom was the first one that knew we were having a girl. And we told her we were going to name her after my gram. So that's where we get Victoria from, because one of the hymns we sang that my gram loved and at her funeral was, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So Victoria comes from victory, and also because we feel that it was victorious, the journey we went through and the opportunities where you could lose your faith, but we kept it. So that's why her name is Victoria Faith.
Wow. Going to
make a great book. I'll be sure you get a copy.
It would. Absolutely. I definitely would. And an autograph one that says to your best friend,
yes,
right?
You know it. Yes, you know it, Darlene, with Staffy Networker.
And, you know, I really enjoy what you're saying about when you meet someone that's a stranger that, you know, perhaps they feel like they're stuck in that kind of rut where they have to go to work or they have to show up. And, you know, let's go back when you first realized when you were an entrepreneur. Did you ever work in another company or were you ever employed?
Oh, lands, yes. My degree is in business education. So after college, I taught, and then I retired after 3 years.
Did you really?
Yes, I taught 8th grade for 1 year, and it was a 6-week course that the school was downsizing, if you will. So they took 2 9-week courses and told me to consolidate that curriculum, 2 9-week courses into 1 6-week course, and it was on intro to business and computers. Now, at the time for this 8th grade course, when I was teaching about computers, there were no computers in the classroom. So as a first-year teacher, I secured a grant
on computers and no computers were there.
Yes. I didn't even have my own computer. I'm like, I'm teaching a business class and I have a computer. What's wrong with this picture?
Wow.
So it wasn't too difficult to secure a grant for that. And at the time, first year teacher, I was in a portable. Now, anyone who's an educator or you know about the politics of education, first year teacher, I was in a portable that had a window air conditioner. And when I secured the computers for my classroom, no longer could I be in a portable because it was a security risk, and they'd already spent the money on the computers. So they moved me inside the basement into a brand new classroom and moved a tenured teacher to the portable. How popular do you think I was at that school?
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was quite fun. I learned a lot that year. I assisted with student council at that junior high, and I was also writing curriculum for a high school. I taught 9th grade. It was a year-long course that every single 9th grader took, Central High School in Omaha, Nebraska, and it was a first of its kind. Now these courses pop up all over the place. So if your kid takes a class where they learn, like, keyboarding, and then they learn Word, Excel, Access, PowerPoint, C++, Visual Basic, AutoCAD, you name it, anything on the computer that they could have been taught, we did that over the course of an entire year, and we were one of the first of its kind in the country. So we received national recognition for that. There were 5 of us that were key curriculum writers and a couple others that assisted with that. And we're also one of the first classes that was team taught. So myself and another gentleman, Matt Schaefer, we taught a classroom of over 50 kids in a computer lab part of the time, and then we taught soft skills, so test-taking, health and nutrition even. There's all sorts of things. So we rotated throughout the year, and I did that for 2 years while I also coached cheerleading. I was the only coach at that high school. So 1 year we had 48 girls.
I can see you being a cheerleader.
Another
for sure.
Year, yeah. And let me say this: a coach, not a sponsor. It's a coach. A sponsor is very different from a coach. So when you think football coach, I was the cheerleading coach. Ask any of my girls. We were actually chatting about it on Facebook last week, and one of my captains said, "Oh, I don't think they want any of that." I'm a tough coach. It's different in business than it is in cheerleading, but the attitude's still the same.
Wow.
And then from there, I went to corporate training. I decided that I needed to get out of teaching. Well, actually, my doctor decided I needed to get out of teaching because my stress level and my health were that of someone that was in their 40s, and at the time, I was only 23. So he said, you've got to change something in your life. So I went into corporate training. I traveled 75% of the time all across the United States, and it was two different AAA clubs around the U.S. So I visited some places I never would have been, like Northampton. I spent nearly 6 weeks in Phoenix and got to come home on the weekends, and I was engaged at the time because in between teaching and training, I got – oh, let's see. Convinced would be a good way to put it. Convinced to work at Sprint, PCS, a cell phone company. And actually, the first day I started was on my birthday. And the manager of the store graduated high school with me, and the assistant manager as well. So when I say that I got convinced, it was because I went with a friend of mine to apply at this place. And they told me that I needed to apply as well. And I was like, what do I want to work here for? They're like, oh, come on. And I was like, well, okay. Because my last check was in July for teaching. So I had to have something by August. Because what was I going to do about paying my bills? So I applied, and I got hired, and she did it. But now I know that the whole reason was because I was going to meet Tim, my husband. So had I not taken that leap of faith, and said, all right, and gone to work there, then my life now would be totally different. But I thank God every day that it's not, and it is the way that it is. And then I worked at the health system after that. And I was pregnant and went back after Victoria's born part-time. Tim took a job in Texas, and he grew up his entire life in Omaha. I mean, entire life. We're talking even college. He was a former homecoming king, so even though I was never homecoming queen, I can still say I married the homecoming king. Ha ha.
That's too cute. Well, you know, this will just blow your mind, because as you're sharing with me your past and what you've done, this will really crack you up. Because see, you don't come across as a person that, you know, might possibly be known as a computer geek. Okay, because if you're teaching people computer stuff. You don't look like the typical person that would know that. And so when I originally went to college, it was for computer programming. Now, do I look like a computer geek?
Oh, my gosh. You and I would have too much fun, Chen. Okay.
Well, wait. It gets even better. Hang on. It gets better. See, I went to college for computer programming, and this was back in the day of COBOL. And playing with DOS. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but, you know, it was just
the C
prompt.
Oh, and, yes. And if you mess up one line, you had to go back and figure out where the whole thing didn't work.
Yeah.
Which number sequence?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, been there. Ah!
Well, and see, this is what's so funny is, you know, when I was going through the class, it came very natural to me, but everybody else in the class was kind of fumbling and struggling through it and everything. So we used to, you know, the professor and I, we divided the class up. He says, okay, you work with that half of the class, I'll work with this half of the class. So in some ways, I was actually teaching, you know, the whole computer stuff. Well, anyway, so I got out of that, and I went into healthcare stuff for a while. Yeah, I know, isn't this a riot? And then, get this, I went into communications. I was in telecom for 13 years of my life, actually. So, and now I'm doing a radio show. You're doing a radio show. We're both networking gurus. This is cracking me up.
Yeah, it is.
So we have more in common than I originally even knew. Oh, wait, and I did cheerleading once. And I was dragged in to try out, you know, the cheerleader tryout. I went with a bunch of my friends, and they're all like, oh, Darlene, you have to come, you have to come. I'm like, no, really, I don't want to go. And they're like, oh, just come along with us anyway. So I was there, and we're all going through our tryouts and stuff like that, and I'm learning all this stuff just for fun and being with them. Well, I got chosen to be on the team, and nobody else did that I was with. And I'm like, oh, boy, that wasn't supposed to happen.
I'm the one that doesn't even want to be here.
I know. I was
oh,
like,
man.
Do I really have to do this? I knew nothing about football. Nothing, you know. And I'm like, I would always rely on everybody else in the squad to say, hey, do we cheer now? Is it time?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, a touchdown? Gracious. I know that's supposed to be cheering right now. But anyways.
Hands up in the air.
Oh, my God, that's so cute. But we do have a lot more in common than I even realized. And so it's really good that we're here.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's talk about that. So when you started your own business, and, you know, I really don't know what you started, you know, your first company, but how old were you when you started or when you realized, you know what, I can't be in corporate America anymore. I can't work for somebody else. I need to be out on my own. When did you discover that?
That is a great question. The first thing I'll tell you is that I was introduced to network marketing over 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and I didn't even know what it was at the time. I had this major scrapbooking addiction, if you will, and someone told me, well, you can get the products even cheaper and all these tools, and I mean, I was a scrapbooking fanatic. I have a ton of scrapbooks, but I can tell you that my daughter's baby album still has yet to be scrapbooked. So that was kind of a trend that faded. I got all the stuff for it. I'd love to find somebody that has a passion for doing it, and I'll pay you to put the albums together for me. And I'm like,
let me guess, was it Creative Memories?
How did you know?
Because I did it too.
No, you're kidding me.
No. I did it too,
oh,
and
I
got in it going, oh, I can get all my stuff because I used to love to do the scrapbooking, and I have yet to do my daughter's baby book.
Oh, see, I'm not alone. Sigh, really.
Oh, my God.
I started with that, and they had meetings and stuff, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And being the teacher, it was natural for me to teach other people how to do it, but like a home party thing and calling people and inviting them, it was a challenge for me. I mean, I love to talk to people, but I didn't like feeling like I was having them come over and then wanted them to buy a whole bunch of stuff. So mm-hmm. it was a mindset at that time that was not, there weren't training courses to help you overcome that. I mean, the training that I went to with this company at my director, whatever's house, was more of here's the new products and here's how to use them and what have you done this week and what ideas do you have, those types of things. So I let her know. I was like, yeah, this isn't really working for me, so I'm just going to kind of, you know, sit by the wayside. I still had a passion for it, and the gal that I went to church with, Geraldine Frisbee, very accomplished in Creative Memories, and she's fantastic. So I decided I would be her admin assistant, and instead of her paying me, like, money, then I got to go shop at her with all of her product. So something new would come out, and I go, oh, fantastic. So I get the stickers, and I get the cutters, and I get the new organizer, and, you know, all this stuff, because I was like, woohoo, I'll barter. And that's when I learned the power of bartering, really, was during that time. But also, she mentored me in so many different ways, because she's a mother of four beautiful children, and I was in the process of having my first. So it was more to me than just learning, I mean, being connected with someone in Creative Memories. She was a strong Christian woman. She had children, and she could share with me the things to do with Victoria and what all I was going through as a first-time mother and all these changes. So she really mentored me during the time that I was there. And I was still working at the health system at the time in HR.
So when was it that you finally let go of literally working for someone else to go full-time into your company or into a business? Remember?
When we moved to Texas, because my husband took a job in Arlington, and so we moved. Victoria's born March 2005. Tim interviewed for them like end of April, beginning of May. He came back. We found out he got the job. We put our house on the market in the beginning of June, and we were moving around 4th of July weekend because Tim started work on July 7th. So when I'm telling you that there was a story like boom, boom, boom with Victoria Faith all along the way, that's what it was. And when Tim was negotiating with his company for the contract, he said, I don't want Danae to work anymore. We're having a baby. So it's base plus commissions because he works at a, get this, he went into the healthcare. He's a medical placement agent, if you will, recruiter, headhunter. So I got out of the healthcare system, and now he works in the healthcare system. Ha ha. Oh, it was crazy. So I was, at the time, already dilly-dallying, playing, hobbying in Mary Kay. So Tim said, well, if you just do that a little bit here and there, then that would be fine. That was when my networking really took off, was when we moved to Dallas and I learned what the term was that I'd been doing my entire life and had been focused on. Connecting people, just talking with them, and naturally going, oh, man, I need to introduce you to so-and-so because they do this and they'd be a fantastic connection for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize that I was already networking. I was already passing referrals. I was already connecting with people, building relationships, all these things that now I teach others to do. I've been doing my entire life as a military brat, and then even more so when I became a professional, quote-unquote, networker. And after a while going to networking events, someone told me, a gal that led this networking group, you know, Mary Kay is only going to get you so far. Have you ever thought about starting your own business? And I was like, well, what would I do? They're like, well, like maybe gift wrapping or putting gift baskets together or something like that. So this woman opened my eyes to going beyond that into something else. So I created Be the Buzz Promotions, which is the company that I house everything underneath that I do. So the Networking Queen, which is my title, and the networkingqueen.net, all those things, my Only 3 Degrees blog talk radio show, books that I'm working on, all those different things are all underneath Be the Buzz Promotions. And it's Be like a bumblebee, the buzz. Because when you think about someone's business, everyone wants their business to be the buzz.
That's so cute.
Well,
I incorporated
the bumblebee because, you know, ergonomically, it's not, and aerodynamically, it's not supposed to be able to fly. If you read any books by Thelma Wells or Mary Kay Ash, they talk about that and what that bumblebee symbolizes. So that is how B, with two E's, not one, the buzz came about, and the logo actually is a bumblebee, and there's lines on it, latitude and longitude lines, and it's a yellow and black striped globe on the bumblebee.
How cute.
So there's symbolism behind everything. If you look at my logo for the Networking Queen really closely, you'll see that there's a pink dotted N in the crown and that the piece that would sit on your head is actually shaped like a Q. And there's a reason for each point on the crown and the blue stars at the top. All of it is symbolic to me.
That's amazing. You know, Danae, we really do share so much. We're kindred spirits because I did Mary Kay for a little bit. Okay. I know. And get this. I'm originally from Boston, okay? And I moved to Austin, and that's when I started my networking career. It was a longer time ago from when you started, but I found myself doing networking, not even realizing I was doing that in Austin. So isn't that funny how networking came to life for me?
Wow.
Yeah, I left Boston in 1989. And so that's kind of when my networking career began, and because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a soul, and I couldn't find a job because, you know, no one was going to hire a damn Yankee, you know. And and so I finally realized, you know what, I need to just get where people are and talk to everybody that I know. And then it just sort of happened. I mean, I was networking with people before there was a term called networking. I don't even know if B&I existed back then. But I don't know. So, you know, we do share those similarities. And, you know, even in my conference and in my logos and stuff that I've, you know, put together in the past, very symbolic. You know, there are definitely reasons why there are things that are in, you know, the logos. And, you know, this year I decided to do something unique with it and incorporate, you know, the shape of Texas and what I want to do, because the conference moves from city to city. And by the way, the U.S. Small Business Conference is only coming one time to Dallas. So it won't be coming back. You know, a lot of people are like,
go, because I'm going to be there.
Yes, you are going to be there. But it was like, you know, a lot of people couldn't understand, you know, why we weren't coming back to St. Louis and why aren't we coming back to Dallas. Well, you know what? There's a lot of places throughout the country, and I only hold the conference once a year, you know.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, it's like a now or never kind of thing. And but there's so much symbolism, you know, in everything that we create. And, you know, we do share so much. I just am amazed by this interview how much is coming out, and I just didn't realize to what degree. And so I'm really grateful that you're here with us today and sharing your stories with us. You're so entertaining, and, you know, you definitely stay pumped up. Your energy level seems to be above the rest, and I think people are really drawn to that, you know. So I think you have that magnetic personality. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, though, what do you think keeps you motivated the most, or what inspires you personally?
I actually know the answer to that because I have evaluated what my love language is. There's a book that's mm-hmm. called The Five Love Languages. If you don't mm-hmm. have that one, the listeners, then I recommend you go get it. They also have one for children. So if you're not sure what the love language of your children is, check it out. And it's five, like the number, F-I-V.
Great book.
Five mm-hmm. love languages. Absolutely. Mine is recognition. So I know that, and it's not like, woohoo, you won a prize. When I was in Mary Kay, that was big for me. It was mm-hmm. the bling. It was, you know, being able to order all this stuff, and then I got this luggage or, you know, those different types of things. Now for me, it's more the verbal recognition. I mean, a simple thank you fills my cup. Mm-hmm. And during the day, getting emails, phone calls, posts on Facebook, a retweet, different things of that nature that are something so simple as, you know, 140 characters keeps my cup filled. And it overflows mm-hmm. so much, like, onto the saucer, onto the table, that that's why I'm so passionate about pouring into the lives of others. Because when I'm low, I know who I need to go to and where I need to go for a refill. And so that my cup is overflowing again. And I know that if it is sitting down at that very moment where I'm feeling down and out and meditating on the word or speaking to my husband and saying, this is what's going on, and he knows that my love language is recognition and that I need that encouraging word and for him to remind me of what I have done. So mm-hmm. that and recognition and words of affirmation are the things that allow me to keep going. And I firmly believe that the reason my energy, if you will, is so high, my passion exudes, is because I know that I was created to be a light and to be a giver and to serve. And when you find that your passion aligns with your purpose and you embrace the two, it makes life so much easier to live.
Mm-hmm. It's an adventure every day, isn't it?
It totally is.
I mean, that's
There's
how
no
I feel, too, because people are like, how do you keep, you know, how do you keep inspired and how do you keep motivated? And by the way, for those of you listening in the audience, what Danae was talking about, the five love languages, was actually written by Gary Chapman. And
yeah.
There are some places on the Internet, too, where you can actually take just a quick little quiz, but I recommend you read it. It opened my eyes quite a bit when I had a chance to read it. It was something that a lot of my friends had said to me and recommended this book over and over again. And I finally said, okay, I get the picture. I'll go out and get the book. And, you know, I read it. And, you know, my challenge was to just really see which one resonated the most, you know, with me. And I have to admit, I probably fall into that same, you know, category as where you are. And I really do, you know, every position in my past, I don't just sort of play the game. I go straight to the top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dabble. I don't sort of put my toe in the water. I'm a risk taker by nature. So, you know, I'm just going to go out there and take that leap of faith. And, you know, I've won all kinds of awards and, you know, accolades and all kinds of stuff in the past. And, you know, in a lot of the companies, especially in telecom, you know, I've won two trips in my life, you know, I mean, just huge trips. Actually, three trips, I take that back. I won my marriage. That's a whole new story, and maybe we'll go into that another time. I mean, of course, I was already engaged.
That was book-worthy, darling.
It's book-worthy, absolutely. But, you know, there's so much that, you know, that book opened my eyes to a lot of different things and how to relate to people and really talk their love language. So I'm glad you brought
mm-hmm.
that up. And, you know, we're almost to the end of our show today. And, you know, I wanted to
Already?
Find out.
You got to be kidding me.
I know, it just flew by. It's just incredible. But, you know, if somebody were to, you know, go out and try to find their passion and their talent, because, you know, I know a lot of people say, I don't know what I'm passionate about, or I don't know what I'm really, you know, looking for in life. What kind of advice would you give someone, Danae, that's trying to find themselves or trying to learn, you know, what their true talent is, and, you know, where you know that you're here to serve and, you know, provide for others? What do you think someone should start with?
There are a ton of ideas rushing through your mind. So let me, because I know we're getting towards the end of the show, let me kind of narrow it down to at least five. Maybe we'll get more in.
Okay.
One of them actually talked about last week on my show, and I know, Darlene, when I have you on at the end of the month, it may be a continuation of today. Stay tuned. More from Danae and Darlene. Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you're going to be asking me about my marriage that I won.
If you want me to, I can, because I know there's tons of other information to get in on the show in an hour. But for one, look at what are the passions of the people you surround yourself by. If you were to make a list of the six people or five that you spend the most time with, and you were to look at them and say, man, I know Sally is passionate about gardening, and oh my gosh, so is Susie, or Ted loves to fish, and here's all these other people that have talents that you're aware of, maybe that's something within you, and that's why you're drawn to them. The other thing I'll tell you is that if you're looking at these five or six people's lives, and what you see is not something you want to be a part of, then you need to look at who you should be surrounding yourself by instead. Because if you are someone who has an entrepreneurial spirit and you're struggling in your business right now and you're not sure why, are the five or six people that you're surrounded by also struggling in their business? Are they sharing the challenges that are going on instead of the successes? And so their mindset isn't exactly the mindset or the mouth that you want to be listening to on an ongoing basis? Then make a change. So first, I would say look at, make a list, who are the five or six people you spend the most time with, and what are the things they're passionate about? And if you're not sure, call them up and ask them. Say, hey, I've been challenged. I was listening to Darlene's show this morning. If you're not familiar with her, she has this great website. It's called Accomplish Magazine. She's got a radio show. You need to get the magazine because it'll help you in your business. You know, Explain to them who she is and why. And then say that she had this guest on, this crazy gal saying, here's what we needed to do. So I'm taking her challenge, and the first thing I've got to do is figure out what the passions are of the five or six people I spend the most time with, and then see which resonates with you. The second would be to make a list of things that if you did not have to work today, you didn't have to get up, go punch a time clock, you know, report to work, sit at your desk, get your cube, get in your car, drive, whatever. But if you were able to get up and do anything in the world where money was no option, the distance didn't matter, and everything that you needed to complete it was at your fingertips, what would be the things that you would want to do in that day? And make a list of those. And then the third thing is, what's a hobby that you've always said, one of these days, I'll be able to do more blank? Maybe it's scrapbooking. One of these days, I'll be able to blank.
Love it.
And the next thing I want to share with you is you want to be sure and document, like write down what your goals are. So when you determine that your passion is, let's say, to educate people on natural childbirth, because I know I have a couple of friends that are doing this. One has a blog, another one is teaching courses on natural childbirth. They found that's something that they're passionate about. No medication, no drugs, none of that. Did you do all natural, Darlene? Because if so, that's another thing we got in common.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, there you go. Add that to the list.
Oh, you mean, wait. No, I hailed up. Are you talking about, like, total delivery and all
natural
that fun
childbirth.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I had the epidural, like, as soon as possible. I was bribing the doctor.
Okay, well, mark that one off the list. But say it was something like that. So what are your goals with it? Is it that you want to teach classes? Do you want to create a blog? Do you want to write an ebook that you sell? Are you going to start a blog talk radio show about natural childbirth and interview mothers that have done it, doctors, doulas, anything like that. So figure out, okay, here's a couple of things I'm passionate about. But then next is to make a list of how you're going to go about doing it. Because you may have a list of, say, three things that you absolutely love, love, love. But you may find that of those three, one really resonates with you. And to embark on that journey to making that a business and a reality for you is a whole lot easier and simpler for you to mind map or brainstorm over than the other two. And then the next thing I would tell you to do is to take that not to a spouse or those five or six people that you spend the most time with. Sit down with someone that you know from a networking event that is already an entrepreneur that you could mentor you and say, I'm thinking about doing this, and I value your opinion. I see where you are in business and how successful you are and that you truly have a passion for what you do, and that's what I want. And here's what my goals are. Would you be open to mentoring me where we could have lunch maybe one day a week or something so that I can brainstorm with you and talk these things out? And that would really bless someone's life to hear that. I mean, darling, could you imagine if your phone rings today and someone says, I want to start a new business and I'm looking for a mentor. Would you be open to mentoring me?
I do that all the time, actually.
People have this fear.
It's funny because a lot of people stop themselves from even asking. And, you know, I had so many requests that I finally got to the point where I mentor one woman every 90 days, you know, because I feel like in 90 days I can really kind of, you know, work with her. Although my schedule lately has kind of put things on hold with, you know, doing a magazine, a radio show, and a national conference. It's, you know, I'm like, it's kind of funny because my office now is known as Command Central.
I love it.
I mean, I can't really go out networking and, you know, in public like I used to, like I want to, because, you know, there's so many things that are, you know, need to be overseen, and I've been bringing people into my group. And how I've been mentoring most of the people now is that they come in more as an apprentice, and I teach them the skill sets and things that I've been able to learn. And this has been awesome. Danae, thank you so much for sharing, you know,
totally
all of these
welcome.
Things. This is awesome. I mean, really, those things that you just discussed on, you know, when people are trying to find their true passion, and I really like that because that narrows it down. It's step by step, you know, and people can really fully embrace, you know, how to get started. And I think a lot of times people
The last one I wanted to plug, Darlene, a book I know I'm sure you love because I don't know many entrepreneurs that don't, the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Oh, yeah. One of my
favorites.
That
one is legendary. So that is the other, in wrapping up those tips, the fifth one then would be to go get a copy of Think and Grow Rich, and you need to commit to doing what it tells you to do and the order it tells you to do it.
I love it. You know, I had a chance to interview the gentleman that he did the 3 Feet from Gold was his new the new book from the Napoleon Hill Foundation, but it's like that book was instrumental for me, and yeah, I definitely recommend if you're listening to our show today and you have not had a chance to read it, you know, go and get yourself a copy, and you know, or even download the audio book, because I actually have both versions. I think I've read the book, you know, just a ton of times. And you know, it's what's interesting about that book now, Danae, is that when you read it, it talks about the recession, you know, when it was written, and how it sort of applies in today's world. So it's interesting how, you know, time sort of has a cycle, and it sort of just came full circle.
But, and Earl Nightingale has a record. So if you know a place that sells records, yes, the old ones that would sit on a turntable that some of the listeners are probably going, what's a record? But Earl Nightingale, he has a record that summarizes Think and Grow Rich and gives you the action steps. Because books are fantastic, but a book like Think and Grow Rich will do you no good if all you're doing is thinking about it and you're not growing anything. And to grow something, you got to take action. That means you're planting, you're watering, you are giving sunshine, all those different steps. That's where the grow part comes in. It's not just thinking about it, but it's growing it. So you got to take action.
That's fabulous. Danae, let me go ahead and share with our audience, I'll have you share, how can people reconnect with you or learn more about what you're offering? You want to go ahead and share your contact info?
Sure, absolutely. My website is thenetworkingqueen.net. If you can figure out how to spell my name and you type in DanaeVaughn.com, it'll take you to the same page. But since it's easier to spell the Networking Queen than it is my name, that's why we just have the networkingqueen.net. So type in the networkingqueen.net, my Blog Talk radio show. If you go to Blog Talk Radio, which you're already on if you're listening to this, and you have the backslash, and instead of accomplished to get to Darlene Station, you type in the Networking Queen. That'll take you to my show. And on Facebook, same thing. You can type in facebook.com/thenetworkingqueen, and you'll get to my profile page. Warning, if you click add as friend, you're going to get a pop-up message that tells you I've got too many friend requests or my profile's maxed out. Instead, please send me a message that just says, I heard you on Accomplished Radio today and would like to add you as a friend. Send that message to me. Don't click add as friend, but send that message to me. And in addition, I will not only add you as a friend, I'll give you the link for my fan page, which is thenetworkingqueen.net on Facebook, but I'll also send you a copy of my ebook titled, What to Do When 5,000 Friends Find You on Facebook. Lessons I learned the hard way.
I love it. That's so cute. Well, again, Danae, thank you so much for being with us here today and sharing your words of wisdom with us and, you know, your experience and your, you know, just total, you know, enlightening stories. And I really feel so much passion and energy that comes from, you know, the words that you share. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Darlene. I'm thankful
so
to
welcome.
The gals that connected us years ago. And, you know, you and I both know that sometimes in networking, you can connect one time, but when the timing is perfect, it elevates that connection to a whole new level of relating. So I wish that for all your listeners, that the connections you're making today and you've made in the past, that the relationship is elevated to a whole nother level when the timing is perfect for you and for your business. So be open to those opportunities because your next greatest networking experience is just around the corner.
I love it. Again, thank you so much. And to our audience, you have been listening to the Accomplished Radio Show. If you enjoyed our show today, do us a favor. And if you're looking online, you'll see the little player on there. Go ahead and click on the little red heart symbol. Mark our show as one of your favorites and start receiving some reminders of our morning show that, again, broadcasts live every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central. And if you'd like to be considered a guest on our show, simply visit AccomplishMagazine.com. And on the radio tab, you can actually fill out the little form that's on there, and we'll review your request and see about setting up a time. So make sure also while you're at AccomplishMagazine.com that you subscribe to get our free subscription on there and get our magazine sent to you. And again, we're also going to be bringing together some great radio spotlights if you'd like to have your business featured on the Accomplished Radio Morning Show. And also just wanted to remind people that coming up in September is, not only the conference that will be happening, but I have a new book coming out called Incredible Business, and so you'll be able to learn more about that, and we're actually accepting advanced orders on our book before it gets released, and you can just visit sassynetworker.com. But be listening to the virtual book launch that's coming out, and also, as a reminder, we want to make sure that people are aware that we are still accepting nominations for America's Most Influential Business Connectors, as well as Best Business Connectors in Dallas. So just visit ussmallbusinessconference.com and click on the nominations button, and you can easily, you know, submit a nomination. We want to recognize all those people that, just like Danae, that are out there and making connections and introductions simply for no other reason than they want to see someone else become successful. So again, thanks for joining us today, and you've been listening again to the Accomplished Radio Show. I'm Darlene Willman, your host of today's show, wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments. Thanks for coming on the show today.